Heavenly Father, we just surrender this time in your word. And I just pray the Holy Spirit will give you revelation of your love for us and for those that you love, Lord. We just surrender this time in your hands. We thank you for your love, that Jesus that died for us. Thank you, God, for sending him. We just surrender this time of, help. Not use my words, Lord, and if they're not, just let me speak what you want me to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Good morning again. God is so good. I'm just going to talk about the character of God. My character of Graham was supposed to speak today, but on Friday I believe that I felt God say, "You do it, Kim," and I'm like, "Oh, okay. This is really not my gifting, but if you want me to, Lord, yeah, I'll go for it." And I just felt the Lord wanted me to speak about God's love. So I'll be sharing about God's love in action and attitude, and God's love for his Jewish people and forgiveness. So throughout the Bible, we see the promises and God's character and love for humanity. God's love poured out in every book of the Bible. Yet some verses state God is love. 1 John 4:8 states, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." That's why people don't understand love, because they don't know God. So what does Scripture say about God's love for us? 1, God's love for you is everlasting. 2, God's love for you is unfailing. Oh, unfailing. What happened? Okay, that was power, man. God's love for you is faithful. God's love for his people, the Israelites, is written in Romans 11, 1 to 11. I just want to read it. Paul wrote this about the Jewish people. So in Romans 11, 1 to 11, it's about the remnant of Israel. "I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. 'Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me.' And what was God's answer to him? 'I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed down the knee to Baal," with the devil. "So too, at present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What Israel sought to earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so they could not see and ears that they could not hear, to this very day." And then David said, "May their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever." Verse 11, "Again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their sins, transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Israel envious." So that's what I want to focus on, because the Lord wanted me to. So in this passage, Paul's an Israelite. He wanted to kill all the Christians because of his, you know, didn't have the revelation at the time. But he knew what his people were like, and we're like that too. But they were very religious. Anyway, so God blinded his eyes so he could see. So, well, God blinded Paul's eyes so he could see. Then the Lord sent Ananias to pray for his eyes to be open. So I reckon it took courage for Ananias to go because, man, you'd have to be hearing from God because he'd be, you know, because, you know, anyway. So Ananias was obedient. He went and prayed for Saul, and God prepared Saul's heart. He was waiting for him. So that was how God works. He prepares the way for them. And anyway, so God changed Saul's heart to Paul, and a miracle in the midst of God's love for Paul, he opened his eyes. So he had new vision, and that's in Acts 9, 10 to 19, about Ananias being obedient, hearing the call of God to go and pray. So God loves you all. He loves you all. He loves us. He loves, and he sent his son to die for us. He loves his Jewish people because that's his clan. That's his where he's from. So God has not forgotten his Jewish people. He loves him and he loves you Gentiles. So I just finished a book recently called Operation Exodus 2. It was an old book given to me over 20 years ago. My mentor was an Austrian Jew, and she left me all the books, and she's a born-again evangelist lady. She was a prayer warrior, and I got her books. So I just picked this book up, and I just was led to read it. So it was written by a Messianic Jew. A Messianic Jew means they're born again. They know Jesus, okay? They've loved Jesus. And he's called Stephen Little. So he's a former businessman from Seattle, Washington. And together with his wife Judy and their daughters Lynn and Michelle have lived and ministered in Germany, Belgium and Israel. During his extensive travels, he has been an eyewitness to the breakup of communism and the rebuilding of Israel. So this was in the 80s. It was written, finished in the 90s. So he was a prophetic prayer warrior for God. He prayed where God led and brought people to pray with him to break down the wall in Germany. The wall came down after they'd been praying at the right in the places, and it's an awesome book. I just love it. I couldn't put it down, but that's me. So it was written in 1983. Steve had a vision in 1974 of the release of the Jewish people from behind the Iron Curtain going to Israel. So I had this vision. The Lord hid him. He was there for 6 days in the room praying, and he had this vision of the release of the Jewish people from Russia coming home to Israel. And he went, what? How am I going to do that, Lord? You know, what's this all about? So he explains in the book why God is returning the Jewish people to Israel and gives answers to it, how Israel is a key to the end time evangelism, what's happening now, what is the return to the Jewish people to Israel announcing? How does the Jewish people relate to the end times? And also, who is responsible for participating with God to help bring home the Jewish people? So, since the end of 1990 to 1998, over 900,000 Jewish people immigrated from the former Soviet Union to Israel. Today, that number is now 2 million Jews have immigrated from Russia. So when the wall came down in 1989. I was just thinking while I was typing this, and I thought, he protected his people again against the war that's happening now in the Ukraine, sending them home before it happened. So all the trouble that's brewing there now was just, made me thought, maybe, he knows what's going on. He does, of course, he's God. But he loves his people. He loves us all. So I wanted to look at the word in Hebrew, what the word love. So I'm going to share the Hebrew word for love, which is called hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And Peter's going to put a little thing up, video, to explain. And hesed is the Hebrew love for love, which is used to describe a deep and abiding love. It's love between people, but is also the love of God for his people. It is love, is action love. Love in action to help redeem someone. Action and attitude. So we're going to play the video, and it goes for about 7 minutes. And I'll go over here. One person that I have reflected upon love in action is we're going to look at Corrie ten Boom. Whose family had a hiding place for the Jewish people. She was arrested and deported during the German occupation of the Netherlands. If you don't know who Corrie ten Boom is, does everyone know who she is? No? Heard of her, okay. So she was recognised, she received recognition from Vad Vestem, that's a remembrance authority, as one of the righteous among the nations to protect the Jewish people in the Holocaust and the World War II. And her family was very proactive of protecting the Jewish people that time. Her father was a watch keeper in the Netherlands, and they had like a resistance happening to get the Jewish people out, their friends, and she was a Gentile that God called, and she was sent into a concentration camp, and she went through the persecution and she survived. So she was love in action at that time. God used her and her family mightily for his people. And it's justice and righteousness. So what touched my heart was her love in action. And I've got some quotes of hers that she used in encouragement, so I just wanted to share those. And she had love in action towards Jewish people to love and to forgive. So here are a few quotes and words of encouragement. I didn't get them on the board because. One, we are used by God to build the kingdom. Two, God has no problems, only plans. His plans are perfect. I love that one. We cannot have a victorious life until we surrender to God. After surrender to God, the Holy Spirit can do the job. Trust God, he's given us great victory through his son, Jesus. So she just trusted Jesus in the time of persecution. She looked to him. I was listening to one time She was in the camp and they got up at 3:30 in the morning to stand there, and they get up and they have to stand there and on watch the call, roll call. They got up early and the guard said, "What are you doing up so early with your sister?" She says, "Oh, we're just getting up early." And he went, "Okay, well, go. It's not on yet. Go back." Anyway, so in the concentration camp was all black coal. The place was black. And she walked around the place with a sister in hand, and they looked up to the sky, and she said, "God, you're with us. The stars are beautiful." She looked up above a problem where she was, and she looked and saw the majestic sky and said, "Oh, God, you are with us." You know, she really looked at the positive, looked at the good in everything. Anyway, so now I'll just share some quotes of hers. If you need any quotes, I'll be happy to share them. One, let God's promises shine on your problems. Two, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. These are really good things to think about. Three, worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a centre of fear. Four, never be afraid to trust an unknown God. Five, forgiveness is an act of will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of a heart. Six, the measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. Seven, memories are the key not to the past, but to the future. And eight, when a train goes through a tunnel and gets dark, you do not throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Nine, discernment is God's call to intercession, never to fault finding. 10, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. And 11, the last one here, the first step on the way to victory is to recognise the enemy. So I like that one. So now I'm going to get Peter to play a little video of her, and you watch it, and then unless you want to come and get communion, maybe you come and get communion, and then we'll play the video. And then we'll focus on. And I just wanted to share also in John 20, 19 to 23. Jesus appeared to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them. And he received and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for your love in action. Lord. We thank you for those. We pray for our enemies, Lord, that you would touch them and heal them and restore them to you. We thank you for your healing, Lord, and reconciliation. Lord, I remember when I was abused, Lord, and I had to forgive someone that hurt me, Lord. And I was so hurt in my heart. I was so angry. But, Lord, your love healed me when I forgave them, Lord. I chose to forgave them, and then I forgave them, and you Lord, reconciliation and healing came, Lord, and I didn't feel any resentment towards them, Father, because I knew, Lord, that you had taken that pain and that from my heart, Lord. And I just thank you. I thank you for your love and your reconciliation. And I just pray for everyone here, Lord, that you would do a work in their heart, Father, and you know them. You created them in your image, Lord, and you know their deepest needs, Lord, and you know them and you love them. And I pray that you just would pour your love upon them, Father, and bless them today and bring your peace into their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're going to sing a song.